Section 3. You will hear a new employee talking to her employer. First, you will have some time to look at questions 21 to 24. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 24.
Welcome to Henry John Electrical, Sharon. I know you have a very strong academic background in business, but that this is your first sales role, am I correct?
Yes, that's right. I'm very excited about joining the team, though a little bit nervous too, I have to admit.
Don't worry. It's a very supportive environment here, and we offer our staff regular training seminars. Actually, today I just wanted to run through some of the basic techniques involved in the sales process before we set you up on one of our more formal training sessions.
Sounds great.
Okay. Well, a useful way of thinking about the sales process is to break it down into six different stages. Throughout the process, you need to be trying to meet your customer's needs and build a good rapport. You know, develop your relationship with them.
Yes, I understand. Now, the first stage is how to approach a customer, isn't it?
Yes, very good. The approach refers to the way in which you contact a client about a particular sales issue. It could relate to either a brand new customer or to someone you have sold products to in the past. The way in which you approach them could be by email, by telephone, or in person. Approach can also refer to dealing with inquiries from a customer who has contacted you about something they want to buy. It's not just about situations where you make initial contact.
I'm with you so far. So how about stage two?
Well, stage two is where you identify the customer's needs. There are three main ways of doing this. One is through asking questions so that you can learn more about your client. Another is by allowing them to talk. There's nothing more annoying to a lot of people than when a salesperson talks at them with no regard for what they actually want. The third way, which brings the first two ideas together, is through using active listening. For example, repeat or rephrase what they are telling you as you listen. Ask more questions in response to what they say, listen carefully, and check your understanding.
I think I'm actually quite good at that kind of thing. I like to build good relationships with people and truly do care about their satisfaction with the service they receive.
Good to hear. Now, stage three involves being able to describe the products you are selling. Now, this part is, of course, much more difficult for new salespeople, as to do this well, you need to be very familiar with the products. A useful tip to help newer members of staff with this part of the presentation is to be prepared. Have plenty of brochures and other useful sources of information with you. And don't be afraid to ask other members of staff if you don't know the answer to an inquiry. You'll learn quickly on the job, believe me.
And it's important to describe the benefits of the product to the client, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. In our sales process model, we call stage four describing benefits, though stages three and four are actually very closely connected. You know, to emphasize the benefits of a product, you don't just need to understand the product and what it does, but also the particular situation of your customer and how that product can help to solve their problems or to make their life easier.
You now have some time to read questions 25 to 30. Now listen carefully and answer questions 25 to 30.
I remember two useful tips for highlighting benefits to customers that we discussed at university. The first one was the use of testimonials is very important, particularly if they are supplied by other customers in similar situations. The reason being that people feel safer buying something if they believe that recommendations come from a reliable source, that is, someone who's actually already used it.
Good point. I agree. And what was the second tip?
It was to encourage the customers to try products for themselves. You know, an interactive demonstration, or even a no-strings-attached free trial. When you leave a sample with a client, then go back to make the sale once they've had the chance to get used to using it.
Very true. In fact, we encourage our sales representatives to do exactly that. Recommendations and trials reduce the risk that a customer feels about buying something new. They make them feel more secure about their decision to try it out. Now, let's move on to stage five. This is responding to objections. I mean, if you explain about a product and how you feel it can fit a client's needs, they are likely to respond with negative reasons as to why it wouldn't work for them. For example, they might say it's too expensive, or they already have an alternative they're using and don't need to change. It is important for a salesperson not to be put off by an objection. Just think of these concerns as a normal part of the sales process. In fact, objections can sometimes be a positive sign that your client has started to think deeply about the implications related to buying. When they raise an objection, they may simply be asking for more information about your product, and their objection tells you in what area they need more information. For example, if they say they're happy with a product from another competitor, try to see that as an opportunity to explain how your product is better. It's important to be polite and thoughtful when you meet objections. You are having to contradict the opinion your client has put forward, but do this respectfully, offering solutions to what they think are negatives.
So we've covered five stages so far. What's number six? That must be closing the sale, I imagine.
Exactly. And there are some useful signs to look for that give you an indication that your customer is ready to buy. For example, they might start asking questions about the buying process. For example, how long would delivery take? What kind of after-sales support do you offer?
I understand. I guess it's all about trying to generate interest from the beginning of the interaction and maintaining and developing good personal relationships with the people we deal with.
Yes, that's very true. Never underestimate just how important the personal factors are. People like to buy from people they like and trust. Be as sincere as you can. It goes a long way towards building rapport and trust.
Being aware of body language is important, I think. We tell others a lot about ourselves through the way we sit, stand, and move. Eye contact is important too. People trust us more if we look at them when we talk to them. I always try to maintain open body language when I'm talking with people. And I read a research report once which said that individuals with open body language are likely to be more persuasive and able to build positive relationships with the people they are talking to than those adopting closed body language positions.
Oh, that's very interesting, and I'm sure you're right. I actually think that humour is useful too. It's easier to build good relations with someone in a light-hearted, comfortable situation, I think, whilst also maintaining professionalism as well, of course. Okay, well, great session, Sharon. Let's go and meet with Philip now, who's going to talk to you about next week's client visits.
That is the end of section 3. You will now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 4.